Chapter 6 Uncle Peter, Derek chokes out, and Tom risks a glance over his shoulder. He sees Derek's face move from "that's impossible" to "not only possible but plausible," and then to "oh God, it's true" in the space of a few seconds. "You killed Laura?" "I'm sorry, Derek," Peter murmurs. "I lost control." Tom doesn't buy that for an instant, but he's not going to interrogate Peter on the subject in front of Derek. He sees Stiles come up beside Derek, hesitantly slide a hand around Derek's forearm in a clumsy gesture of comfort. Then he turns back to Peter. "So we're in agreement that you're going to cut out this alpha bullshit, right?" A smile touches Peter's face, almost a smirk. "You haven't changed, Tom. This makes me think of the good old days." "I've changed, of course. But that isn't the point. I agree. I will stop attempting to force you to hurt your son. But I won't stop trying to force you to help me." "You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Peter. It doesn't really seem like you need my help," Tom says. "You've murdered 5 people without getting a scratch." "True, but Kate won't be the same. I can't take her on alone. I need you, both of you, to help me." Peter sighs and pushes a hand through his hair. "And then it will be over." "Peter," Tom says, keeping his voice calm, "I'm not going to help you murder Kate. If you have evidence that she was behind the fire, I will arrest her. She'll be charged and go to jail, probably for the rest of her life." "Is that supposed to matter to me?" Peter doesn't look impressed. "No, thank you, Sheriff. Do you know what someone like Kate will do in jail? She'll take charge. She'll bully her way to the top. She'll probably kill some of her fellow inmates. She might not have her freedom, but she'll still have her happiness, because someone like Kate will love jail. It'll be like shooting fish in a barrel. If we want Kate to face justice, there's only one way to get that done." "Be that as it may," Tom says, "I'm still not going to help you kill her." Peter regards him for a moment. "You love your son," he says. "I see that in you. You love him more than anything else in the world. You love your wife, too. I remember seeing you two together while you were friends with Talia. So I want you to take a moment and imagine, if you would, that Claudia and Stiles had died in that fire, the way my wife and son did. Would you be saying the same thing? Would you be satisfied with Kate in jail?" Tom has to take a deep breath before he can reply, because the thought of Stiles being gone, burning to death while he screams, is so vivid. "Would I be satisfied? No. But I would still see it done, because that's the law. Societies need laws in order to function. The important thing would be to make sure Kate couldn't hurt any more innocent families, and that's what the law would accomplish." After a moment, Peter nods slowly. "You're a good man, Sheriff. Always have been. But I'm not. So if you won't help me, you had better at least stay out of my way." He turns to walk away, then stops and half turns back. "What about you, Derek? Are you going to help me bring justice to the person who killed our family? I'm only going to ask once." Derek's face twists in agony, and Tom has to resist the urge to snarl. "No, you don't get to do that," he says to Peter. "Derek can make his own decision. He's heard both sides. But you don't get to put him on the spot and force him to choose sides before he's had a chance to think things over." "I suppose if you insist," Peter says, and walks away. A bare moment later, he's gone. "Jesus, Dad," Stiles says, hyperventilating a little. "That was so awesome. Like, you just shut him down cold." "Focus, Stiles," Tom says. "Derek, you okay?" "I honestly have no idea," Derek says. "That seems fair." Tom frowns and adds, "Why did you ask me to come down here, by the way?" Derek blinks at him, some of the anguish fading as he focuses on the situation at hand. "What? I didn't ask you to meet me. You texted me and asked me to meet you." Tom looks down at his phone, and then looks at the door through which Peter left. I guess it probably shouldn't surprise me that Peter Hale knows how to clone someone's cell phone. He shakes his head. For the time being, don't trust texts. If you want to talk to me, call me, and I'll do the same. Styles, that goes for you too. Okay, Styles says, a little subdued. Come on, let's get you back to the house, Tom says, reaching out to squeeze Derek's shoulder. We can talk more about this later. Styles' heart doesn't stop racing for nearly an hour after they leave the high school. His father is quiet, pensive. Styles isn't sure what to say to him. Tom clearly wasn't surprised by the identity of the Alpha. From the fact that he had been trying to get hospital security footage, Styles assumes that he had figured it out, but just couldn't prove it yet. But he does seem upset by it. That makes sense to Styles. Peter Hale hadn't exactly been a friend of his father's, but they had known each other, and this Peter Hale sounds very different from the one Tom had described. He doesn't know what to say to his father, and even less does he know what to say to Derek, but it's the latter that he's really worried about. Derek has been silently brooding ever since they got back to the Stalinsky house. Fortunately, Styles is at least a little prepared for this. He makes Derek some tea, and then carries it out to the back porch, where Derek is staring into the backyard. Hey, Aya, I made you some tea, with a kettle. It's Earl Grey, loose leaf. I bought it off the internet. Derek glances over at him, and his expression is more confused than anything else. You bought tea for me? Seemed like you might be around for a bit, so yeah. Styles shrugs a little. And to be fair, holy shit, were you ever right? This is so much better than the stuff I was getting at the grocery. Derek tries to smile. It falls flat, but at least he put in the effort. Styles sits down next to him on the porch swing and lets him have his silence. He sips his tea and says, quietly, "It's good." "Thanks. I mean, I didn't really put in a lot of effort. Making tea isn't that hard. Although actually the internet seems to think it is. There are like entire websites devoted how to brew tea. I'll stop talking now." "What would you do?" Derek asks abruptly. "About the tea? No, obviously not about the tea. You mean about your uncle and Kate." Styles clears his throat. "Look, I'll be honest with you. If you promise you won't tell my dad I said any of this." At this, Derek gives him a sideways glance, but then he nods. "Okay, I promise." "I think justice is important. My dad's right about that. Going outside the law, it's not a good idea. Vigilante justice shouldn't be tolerated because it's important to have an unbiased system in place." Styles huffs out a breath. "That being said, if anyone ever killed my dad, I would burn down the whole motherfucking world, you know? I don't know if I could do what he's recommending. Just be okay with the person going to jail. It doesn't feel like justice, even though it is. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm making sense." "I think you are." Derek hunches up a little. "I know that we aren't the only people that Kate has hurt. I'm sure she's killed lots of people. But there's so much that she did that can't be proven. So I feel like if we sent her to jail, what if she escapes? What if she gets out on parole in 20 years and goes right back to doing what she was doing? What if she bribes a jury and gets declared innocent?" Styles nods a little. "And, I mean, we could talk about the flaws in the justice system, or we could talk about recidivism statistics in Scandinavia. Don't look at me like that. I happen to know a lot about this topic. But statistics are for groups. Kate is one person. She's not the sort of person who can be rehabilitated. And if that's really the case, I don't think she should live. But at the same time, I don't think that should be up to us." He rubs a hand over the back of his head. "I don't know, man. I don't know what I would do." "Thanks for being honest." Derek takes another drink of his tea. "Part of it, it's harder because it's Uncle Peter, you know? I feel like I should help him, but I don't know why." His voice broke a little. Styles says quietly, "You don't know why he killed Laura, Derek nods, because that I lost control, that's bullshit. Laura came back here because someone was leaving neon signposts that there was something going on. He lured her back here, and then he killed her. I need to know why. Maybe you should ask him, Stiles says. I don't think I would get a straight answer out of him if I asked a second time, any more than I did the first. I could ask my dad to ask him. He seems to listen to my dad, which is, you know, weird. Stiles shrugs a little. But if I were you, I'd want an answer to that before I made my decision. Because if Peter, if he killed Laura for her power, so he'd be strong enough to get to Kate, that sort of changes things. I mean, it makes him the bad guy, Derek says. He sighs. Yeah, I guess I'll talk to your dad. Thanks, Stiles. I'm glad you were here for me to talk to. Stiles flushes bright pink. Oh, yeah, no problem. Tom's not surprised when he goes to the hospital the next day and finds it in an uproar over the fact that Peter Hale has disappeared from his room. He assigns two of his deputies to investigate, then looks at the staff roster from the day before. Only one of the three employees that had been working the previous night shifts had been there when Peter had left the evening before. It's a woman named Jennifer, who lives in a small one-story house on the edge of town. Tom heads over to pay a visit. So, is Peter Hale staying here? He asks, wanting to get things off on the right foot. She immediately sputters and protests. Relax, you're not under arrest. I'm asking for werewolf reasons, not sheriff reasons. You do know he's a werewolf, right? Of course I know he's a... Jennifer continues sputtering, then looks around nervously before standing back to let Tom in. No, he isn't staying here. I offered, but he said he would make his own way. Did you know he was killing people? Tom asks. No, Jennifer says, a little too quickly. Tom lets it go. Do you still have a way to get in touch with him? No, Jennifer says, and her eyes flick to the side the exact same way. I just want you to pass a message along to him, okay? Tom says. I'm not going to insist you give me his phone number. Just tell him that I want to talk to him. Things were a little intense last night. I want to sit down with him and talk things over. He knows where to find me. Jennifer looks suspicious, but she doesn't argue. She takes Tom's number and says she'll pass the message along the next time she sees Peter, but she isn't making any promises. Tom is curious about why she chose to help him, but she's already suspicious enough without him pushing the issue. That evening, it's deja vu all over again when he walks out of the station to find a man leaning against his car. This time it's not Chris Argent, but Peter Hale. Tom gestures to the station and says, "You know that people are looking for you, right?" Peter shrugs. "They're looking for a man covered in burn scars. They're not going to look twice at me." "Fair enough." Tom gives him a critical look. "Why hadn't you done that earlier?" "Well, I still had a cover to maintain, didn't I? But after last night, it didn't really seem worth it, and I was getting sick of hospital food." Tom shakes his head and points to the cruiser. "Get in." "Do I get to ride in the front? That's a difference from the old days." "If you really want me to handcuff you and put you in the back of the car, we can do that." "Maybe later," Peter says, smirking at him. Tom looks at the sky and prays for patience. He gets into the car and starts down the road. "What did you want to talk to me about?" "I have some questions for you that I didn't get the chance to ask last night. I was a little stressed, you know, what with you chasing us around the high school and trying to make me lose control so I would hurt my son." Tom gives Peter a sideways glance. Peter stares straight ahead. "So, first things first, I'd like to know why you bit me." Peter shrugs. "I knew I would need the help of at least two people to take down Kate. That meant turning at least one beta. You were the lucky person in the right place at the right time." After a moment, Tom decides not to bother arguing the definitions of lucky and right. Does that mean you're going to bite somebody else now that I've refused? Oh, I haven't given up on you yet, Tom. You never did know when to quit. Tom shakes his head. Why did you kill Laura? And don't even try that I lost control garbage. I know damned well that you lured her back to Beacon Hills. Derek knows that too, by the way, and I'm pretty sure he didn't find your answer satisfactory either. Derek doesn't want the real answer, Peter says. The truth would be more painful to him than any lie ever could be. We can argue about that later. Regardless of how you feel about Derek's opinion, I still want the truth. What makes you think you're entitled to it? Tom takes a deep breath. Listen to me, you arrogant little prick. You made me entitled when you attacked me in the forest and turned me into some sort of movie monster. I want answers. Do you understand? You owe me that. Peter sighs quietly. I needed the alpha power in order to heal and regain my strength. I knew Laura would let her guard down around me. Okay, Tom considers. But that's not why, is it? Derek's already figured that much out. It's the simple explanation. So what's the part you're hiding from him? Can you imagine being in as much pain as I was in? Peter asks. And I'm just talking about the physical pain for the moment. Burns all over my body, lungs scorched by superheated air. Imagine being in that much pain and waking up in the hospital. Who's the first person you see? Tom's not sure where this metaphor is going, but at least Peter is talking, so he answers. Styles. Of course, your son would never leave your side. From what I've seen of him, he'd sleep and eat in your hospital room, waiting for you to wake up. But when I woke up, I was alone. Peter's breath catches. Laura abandoned me. We weren't that far apart in age, you know. She was closer to me than she was to Derek, actually. She was like my sister, and she left me in that hospital to rot. No family, no alpha, no pack. The wolf gained strength from the pack. If she had been there, she and Derek, I would have recovered faster. I spent far more time in that burned-out coma than I should have, thanks to her. Tom thinks this over for a long minute before he says, almost gently, maybe Laura was just frightened. Of course she was frightened, but she was an adult and she was an alpha. She was my alpha. She had no right. Peter's hands curl in his lap, his claws digging into the skin. If you had an uncle, if someone murdered his family, wouldn't you bring him with you when you ran away? Yeah, Tom says, I would. Derek idolizes his sister. He doesn't want to hear this. And I don't want him feeling guilty for the decisions that Laura made. But you asked why I killed her, and that's why. I don't care what you think of it. I don't need your forgiveness or anyone's forgiveness. All I want is understanding. Tom nods slowly. I think I can give you that much. Good. Peter relaxes a little, the wounds on his hands disappearing. What else? Well, I'm curious as to whether or not you intend to murder anybody else. Besides Kate? No. I thought about killing that pathetic chemistry teacher, but he didn't seem worth it. Have you seen his life? I think it's a greater punishment. Tom snorts despite himself. And you're going to let Derek make his own choice about whether or not he's going to help you, right? He's been through enough. He doesn't need you making it worse. I suppose if you insist, although if he doesn't help me, I'd have to make another beta. You understand. You bite anyone else in this town, and we're going to have a long talk. Longer than this one? Tom sighs. I know I can't put you in jail, Peter, but... But what? Peter snarls, his eyes flaring crimson. What are you going to do, Tom? You can't arrest me. You can't talk me out of this. Are you going to kill me? Put one of your wolfsbane bullets in me? You might not approve of what I'm doing, but look at what Kate Argent is. She's killed before, and she'll kill again. She'll never stop killing, not as long as she draws breath. Put her in jail and she'll kill guards or other inmates, or she'll break out and go right back to killing werewolves. She took everything from me. Don't pretend you can understand that. She murdered 8 people, including 3 children. So between Kate Argent and me, who deserves to live, Tom? Are you going to kill me to stop me from killing her? Is that what you would consider justice? You know, Tom says evenly, you could let me finish my sentence instead of making assumptions. Peter blinks. Then he says, all right. I can't put you in jail, but I don't want to watch you drag anyone else down with you on your vendetta. No more betas. I can't kill her without help. Then why did you attack her car the night she got into town? Peter shrugs. Just for fun, really. Tom pinches the bridge of his nose. You got Derek shot doing that. Yes, well, that wasn't exactly my fault, Peter says, annoyed. I figured she'd shoot at me. You know, the alpha who had just attacked her. Why the hell she shot at Derek, I couldn't begin to tell you. Fair enough, Tom says, but I'm serious. No more betas. I'm fascinated that you think you're in a position to give me orders. Look, Peter, we've already agreed you deserve to live more than Kate. I won't even try to stop you from killing Kate, mostly because I know I can't. But if you destroy any innocent lives on your way, my position on your longevity is going to drastically shift. And don't give me any "the bite is a gift" crap. Being a werewolf is an improvement in some ways, I'll admit that, but being turned into a werewolf and then being mind-controlled into participating in a murder, that is a recipe for a lifetime of therapy. Tom pulls the car over. Kill Kate Argent, do it yourself, do it alone, and we'll be good. Are we clear? So this is what it looks like when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object, Peter murmurs. We're clear. I won't make any promises, but we're clear. Good. And Peter, Tom takes a breath and lets it out. I'm glad you've healed, that you're back on your feet. I'm not glad you killed Laura, but... Peter's lips quirk into a smile. Did you miss me, Tom? Get out of my car, Tom says. Peter laughs and does so, vanishing into the forest without another word.